what a blessing it is. Well, to do this, to get around the Word of God, but just the fact that people in America still want to.
Yes.
Because then it's not that people aren't spiritual in other places, but the devil's busy and this world's got us too busy. And amen. So I'm working on this message and we're going to trust God that it makes sense. But she was practicing and I checked to see, I said, that song, in my mind, I'm back in the motorhome. I said, that song would go with this message. So I told her I would find out what we have to do to sing. And when I found out, we could sing anytime we want. I feel special. Of course, you might not want after this, but anyway. That means she's done with me talking. What a team, right? Once I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by His grace I'm free. Now it's different, oh, so different now. It's different now, since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now, since by His blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different, oh, so different now. I went to church one day to hear them sing and pray. Preacher firmly plowed the gospel plow. He said, you must repent. So down the aisle I went. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. Sin fetters held me fast. The die was almost cast. My proud and haughty spirit would not bow. But just one glimpse of Him, it broke the power of sin. Now it's different. Oh, so different now.
It's different now, since Jesus saved my soul.
It's different now,
since by His blood I'm whole.
Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Wonderful. I don't believe she gets away with that. If I'm wonderful, it's by marriage. Amen. Take your Bible tonight and go to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start there. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to read a bunch of verses, I think. Yeah. Let's start at verse 15. And here's Paul writing this epistle to this church, New Testament church. Bunch of folks saved the same way we are. Yeah. Amen. Salvation by grace through faith. Matter of fact, he brings it out clearly in this very epistle. He says this, "Where I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints," that's the way it's supposed to be. Our faith starts, if our faith in Jesus, we'll have love for the saints. In this world, we as in the natural man is kind of wired to compete. But in Christ, we're brothers and sisters. I like that. It says in verse 16, "Cease not to give thanks for you," Paul talking in the first person, "making mention of you in my prayers." Be a good place for me to thank you again for making mention of us in your prayers. We went through this winter rehab thing and people communicated and I appreciate it. We both appreciate it. God got us through that and took good care of us and thank you. And we pray for you, and thank you for praying for us. Verse 17, that he make a mention of you in our prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Father, again, we come to you in the magnificent, mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray and ask that you just bless our efforts here tonight to assemble, to gather, and God, to be attentive to your word. I pray that you'd help me be a vessel meet for the master's use. I pray you bless the folks that have come out. We want to hear from you on both sides of this pulpit. Lord, please show yourself mighty tonight, and we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, verse 21 is where we're going tonight. It mentions, I'll read it again, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Notice, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come.
Amen.
Two worlds are mentioned in that verse. Now, the first one's this world. This world, the world that Paul mentioned in Titus chapter 2, when he said, I think in verse 11, he said, for the grace of God to bring us salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, but to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the one that Paul was talking about, where he mentioned in Ephesians 1, in this world. That's one of them, but there's another one. And the other one is not another planet beyond Pluto. Which makes me gotta ask, is Pluto still a planet? I mean, it was when I was in school a long time ago, and then I heard it wasn't. I mean, who's in charge of that kind of foolishness? I don't know. But we're talking about a completely different world when the Bible's talking about the world which is to come. It's coming. Amen. I can't wait. Take your Bible, go to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. Amen. Title tonight will be, since we're talking about two worlds, the title tonight will be The Best of Both Worlds. All right, say it tonight.
Yes.
You got in on something. You got in on something that the world, the flesh, and the devil will all work overtime to get you to not focus on, because focusing on what we got in on is what will help us through the storms and the trials. Amen. And so I want to try to encourage you tonight and preach on that. It says in Luke 18, look at verse 29. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting, manifold blessing, manifold more, and life everlasting. Now, truth of the matter is, to receive manifold more, you may not have to leave house or parents or brethren or wife or children. You may not have to. They may present absolutely no threat to your pursuit of the kingdom of God. Amen. As long as your house doesn't take precedence over his, there's no threat, there's no challenge, amen, there's no conflict. Best case scenario, Don't you know? Best case scenario is everybody on there is parents, spouse, children, brethren, all seeking the will of God. And therein is the unity that we strive for and look forward to in the world to come. But it's not always that way. And sometimes there is strife amongst family and there is strife. And I just got to say, if you're ever presented with a choice, you go with God.
Amen.
Every time over every other possible scenario. That's what he's saying. And you'll be out, you'll be okay. Amen. So I want to preach about these two worlds. Again, the title will be The Best of Both Worlds. Take your Bible, go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And verse 4. Let's start at 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. That's a good place for an amen.
Amen.
Right there. I said, that's a good place for an amen,
amen.
Right there. I knew you'd agree with me. That he might deliver us from this present world. That's evil, thank you. That's a good place for an amen, too.
Amen.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Amen. According to the will of God and our Father. So, Paul says, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now, he's talking about the world that is. Amen. And he's calling it evil, even though I almost didn't. Amen. He says this present world is evil. And we agree. We know that it is because, well, somewhere around 1963, they kicked God out of schools. If I'm remembering my history right, that thing started in Texas, didn't it? Isn't that where Madeline McCoy, Maureen O'Hara, whoever that was? Wasn't that in Texas? Doesn't matter. Doesn't make any difference. But the world, it's been going downhill ever since.
That's right.
It started picking up speed then. It was already going down because this world's got the wrong God. I had the wrong God for a long time. I got the right God now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I heard it said like this one time, they peeled the Ten Commandments off the walls in the churches of America back in the 60s, and now they're washing the blood of children off those same walls. This is definitely present evil world. Amen. We know it's true. We know it's evil. We know Paul's right because, well, somewhere around 1973, they legalized abortion. And now that abortion didn't start then, and killing children didn't start then. They were doing it in the Old Testament. Yeah, they were just letting them be born first before they sacrificed them to Moloch. That's nothing new, but it is new that they made it legal. This present world's evil. I mean, I'm enjoying my life, but I'm here to tell you, I'm very well aware that this world that we've been left in to be a light, to point people to Jesus Christ, is not where we're supposed to get comfortable.
Amen.
It's evil. And we know it's evil because somewhere, I think in 2015, if I got my dates right, they legalized same-sex marriage. That doesn't even sound right in a sentence together. Amen. But what a thing, what a mess we got. Paul said it was evil world. Wait a minute. He said that 1900 years ago. And all those things I just mentioned have happened in our lifetime, most of us. And so it's just been getting worse and worse ever since Paul wrote it. Amen. He talked about this present evil world. In the fall of 1990, I was arrested in federal drug and weapon charges. I was 37 years old. And this present world for me went from out there living like a professional rebel and outlaw and high and drunk all the time and things like that and not giving much thought about eternity, even the future at all. My present world became, it got a lot smaller all of a sudden. It became a 5x7 cell. Amen. And the Bible says this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And, you know, I didn't have any kind of, delusion about why I was there. I sowed trouble for a long time, and it was payday. And I'm from the group, I don't know if you'd call it generation, that you do the crime, you do the time. I wasn't complaining about it. Like I said before, I had more friends behind bars in prisons across the country than most people have on the street. Amen. I wasn't looking forward to it, but I wasn't surprised by it. I outlived many of my friends, and I had many in prison. And but I was bored, and I was in a jail. I ended up in a jail church service, not because I was looking for God. I wasn't that kind of guy. I had been in church over 20 years, except in a funeral, and we had a lot of funerals, and they were in funeral homes. And amen. But I hadn't seen a preacher in that long, I don't guess. But I ended up in a church service. I was reluctant to go, but the guy in the next cell said, "What do you got to lose?" Now, just a little side note, I was preaching in a prison up in mid-Ohio about 6 years ago, and I was preaching to about 120 convicts, and I said, there's a guy locked up with me, it was 30 years ago at the time, and I said, he had more to do with me getting under the clear presentation of the gospel than I ever heard as a kid growing up in a little Protestant church in the north. Amen. And I said, I got saved after he got sentenced, he got life, and I got saved, and when I made bond, I sent a preacher to the prison he was in to lead him to the Lord, and never seen him again. And I said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look him up, I'm going to hug his neck. And I preached to them 120 guys, 14 of them got saved, and when they got dismissed, old guy comes up to me. He says, "That you, Spurgeon?" I said, "Who are you?" And it was 30 years later, but that very guy is named Bobby Howard. He's still behind bars. And I see him a couple times a year when I go up to that prison. Well, I'm glad I went to that church service that day. But the preacher, I wasn't real excited about it at the time. The preacher, my world, this present world for me was that cell, was that prison, very gloom outlook, amen. And then this guy comes in and preaches about the world to come that I was headed for, because he went right to Luke chapter 16 and read through there about the rich man and the beggar man, and they both died. Doesn't say anything about a funeral for the beggar. I personally, I think the dogs ate him, but maybe not. The rich man had a funeral, though. And you know, rich people can have fancy funerals. You know what rich people do that die without Christ? They pay somebody, their family, they pay somebody to come preach some flowery little message and put them right there in heaven. That guy ain't in heaven. The Bible said in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I found that preaching a funeral is the absolutely best time to preach the gospel, because most people aren't thinking about eternity until there's somebody laying in a box somewhere. Amen. So we seize the opportunity when the opportunity arises. Amen. This preacher preached on hell, and it said in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And for me, I got to say, this present world at that time in my life was pretty bad. I was held without bond. I was looking at 37 years in prison for drugs and guns and machine guns and all that kind of stuff. And if that's not bad enough, this preacher showed us that according to the Bible, the world to come, the one I was headed for, was much, much worse. He showed us verses where proved that it was going to be a place of torment, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And in my pride and arrogance, I listened to that message. I listened to that invitation, and there was no way any preacher, slick talking preacher, was going to leave that place thinking he made an impression on me. As a matter of fact, when that preacher left, he said later on, if there was anybody that I ever thought was definitely doomed to go to hell, the last person I ever expected to give the call to the church and say, "I need a visit," was Dave Spurgeon. But I heard it. I heard the truth. I heard the message. Amen. And it took me three weeks to get over. Yeah, get over that pride and arrogance, because if one thing I know, I made a lot of mistakes in my life. But if a person dies, any person dies and goes to hell after what Jesus Christ did to make a way for their sins to be forgiven, I mean, I don't even have the word to describe how stupid that would be. And I said, I was honest enough with myself to admit I'd done some things wrong, but I didn't want to make that mistake. Amen. And so I bowed my heart. I didn't have any religion in me, really, so I didn't have a little prayer, and I didn't get down. I did get down on my knees, but truthfully, honestly, I did. I bowed my heart. I opened it up. I said, Lord, you know I deserve to be here, and if hell's real, I deserve to be there. And I asked for forgiveness, like I mentioned yesterday. And this present world changed dramatically. This present world for me changed more dramatically than I even comprehended. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I love that verse. Amen. And I really didn't grasp it then. Amen. But according to the verse, when you get in Christ, things become new. And it's not talking about the outward things. I mean, I didn't look any different. Amen. And I was still looking at all that prison time. I didn't get out. No angels came and the bar swung open and none of that happened like happened for Peter. Amen. But boy, something happened inside. And again, it took a long time to grasp, but it says in Psalm 40 in verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Amen. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. See? So if you can't sing very well, it doesn't matter. They got to see it. I've seen convicts. I've seen men. I've seen women that couldn't carry a tune in the bucket get up with a sincerity that's more impressive than all the talent in the world and sincerely try to praise and work. You know what that is? People see it. First time I ever sang a special at our church a long time ago, my preacher came to me and he says, boy, if the guys in the old crowd could see this up there, Spurgeon's up there singing about Jesus. I think Dr. Ruckman said that to me one time. I said, what would they say now? I said, I don't care. I didn't care what people thought when I was lost. Why would I be intimidated by that now? Amen. And I don't say that because I'm super spiritual. I'm saying that because God saved me and put me in a place with a bunch of men and women, too, that were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I said, this is what I've been looking for all my life. I've been looking for something real. So from the paratroopers to the bike gangs, all I wanted was something to dedicate my life to. And that search ended up in a jail cell, but that's where I met Jesus Christ. And things are different. Like the song, things are different now. Amen. I'm glad. It said in Psalm 51, after David God came to God, and it says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. He said, create in me a clean heart. I had a dirty heart. I had a polluted, vile heart, more so than I even comprehended, because I was just, it was just a normal heart for the world that I lived in and the crowd that I lived in. But the more I learned about Jesus Christ, the more I realized how vile and filthy I was, and I got grasp on what the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And I mean, the longer I'm saved, the more I am just marvel at the fact that he would do what he did for the likes of me. The more I get to know me as I get older, the more I love him. And that's what it's supposed to be. Amen. So, again, I'll say this. When I say that the present world changed, these are all spiritual things. And I got out, and I made bond, and I started going to church and started learning about these kind of things. And I'm going, oh, wow. Oh, wow. But they happened. They happened that day. I became a child of God. The world changed, but the world to come, we're talking about two worlds. We're talking about the best world. The world to come changed, too. And that was the one I was aware of to some degree, because I bowed my heart to Jesus Christ, not to ever. I never imagined myself getting out of jail. I was held without bond. I was no bonded twice. But when that preacher preached, I realized I was going to hell. And if Jesus Christ is who he said and he did what he said, according to the Bible, I was headed for hell. But boy, the more I trusted Christ, because I didn't want any part of hell. Take your Bible, go to Revelation 20. Here's what I'm trying to say. The world to come. the world had come. It was a lake of fire, but that morning I trusted Christ. That changed. Look at verse 12 in Revelation 20. And it says this, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the world had come, prior that morning, to meeting Jesus Christ by faith, my name was in those books that were going to be judged according to their works, and it wasn't going to be good. But that morning I trusted Christ, my name came out. The world had changed. The world had come changed because my name came out of those books and went into that other one. Notice how books is plural. I don't know how many there are. Amen. I don't know. It says many. Matthew chapter 7 said many there be that go in there. There might be 1,000. But there's only one book of life. But I got in there. I still marvel at that, Brother Eddie. I still do. Amen. My name, in the world to come, my name came out of that. Everybody's name's up there. Came out of those books, went into the book of life. Amen. I told somebody the devil couldn't get it out with a nuclear bomb. Amen. In verse 15 there in Revelation chapter 20, it says there at the end of the chapter, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My name's there. And because it is, I'm not going anywhere near any lake of fire for a second, let alone eternity. How about you? How about you? Do you have that confidence? Do you have that insurance? Assurance? Insurance? That might work. Is your name in the book of life tonight? I mean, obviously you're in church on a Saturday night. I commend you for that. But are you saved? Amen. Because that's what happened. I mean, yes, Jesus died for our sins according to Scripture, was buried, rose again the third day according to Scripture. But, beloved, you get in that Bible, you find out a whole lot of things were going on while that was going on to make a way for you and I to sit here and sing these hymns and rejoice in the fact that we don't have to go to hell. Amen. Our name was put in a book of life. We've been rescued. Like it said in the song, we've been delivered. We've been redeemed. Man, that blows me away. So I just say all that, say this, we're talking about the best of both worlds. Now if you're saved, the world to come, boy, you got in on something. That's right, sir. But that doesn't mean you won't have trials and struggles and hard times in this life, in this present world, and in a church this size, amen, in this day and age, with this many age from little kids to older people, there's all kinds of things going on. And sometimes we come to church and smile. Listen, we're not of that crowd that just smiles and grins and pretends everything okay. Some things aren't okay, and that's when we need to be sensitive to pray for one another, amen. But I'm telling you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what kind of trial you got going on in your life, and you may very well have one, boy, I tell you what, compared to the next world, it ain't nothing. It don't mean nothing. We can get through it, can't we? Can't we get through it? I don't know about you, but that helps me. It helps me. Like I said last night, it helped me to pray. Helped me to remember what brothers and sisters are across the country and across the world are going through. And now I feel ashamed about the things that I'm complaining about. Amen. And I do. I complain. I'm just like everybody else. And the Lord says, really?
Amen.
And I went, sorry.
Amen.
Yeah, I hope it stays that way. And I like to say this often, I guess I'm saying it a lot. I don't have these, whatever I might want to call these rules that I live by or standards because I'm spiritual. I believe what I believe because God put me around other people. Now, again, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. What I'm trying to emphasize is, how much we need each other. How much we underestimate the world, the flesh, and the devil trying to pull us away from these very basic rudiments of our faith that are clearly presented to us in the Bible, and we can get them when we read them. But I go places, people have been reading the Bible 25 years, and they're going through something, and sometimes it's a little interesting to see that. My wife one time was, something was going on, and I said, hey man, where's your faith? Can you believe me saying that to her? She's been saved 15 years longer than me. But she said, thank you for that. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. I mean, our confidence is that God will get us through, right? That He's got our best interest at heart. That He will work all things together for good.
Amen.
Right? We believe that.
Amen.
I know it's true. We're talking about the best of both worlds. It said in 2 Corinthians 5, all things are become new, and things became new. I had no idea what I got in on spiritually and seated in the heavenly places and all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what, in the weeks and the years to come, as I did the federal probation and then got called into evangelism 28 years ago, something like that. Been on the road for 28 years, Brother Lindell. I'll tell you, take your Bible, go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We're talking about this present world now again for a minute. It says this in verse 56. Boy, I read through this one day and it got a hold of my soul. Luke chapter 9 and verse 56 says, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." He saves souls, buddy. That's what he does. That's what took Calvary. But he gave us a book, and he gave us each other. And I'm here to tell you, he'll save more than your soul. He'll save your life. I preach in prison. Some of them guys, many of them guys, they're never going to get out. They're never going to get out. And if they do, they're not going to get in a church like this. They're not going to get in a church that believes the Bible and rightly divides the Bible and studies to show themselves approved unto God. And if they got saved, I believe a lot of them do. Getting saved's easy. Amen. But a lot of them will never get in on what you and I have had the privilege of getting in on. Amen. I'll tell you what God done for me. He saved more than my soul. Mm-hmm. He did that in a jail cell, and I ain't no more saved now than I was then when I knew nothing. Amen. But he has saved my life.
Amen.
Amen. Of course, you got to turn the reins over to him.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm glad God put me in a church where a preacher didn't hold back from telling me exactly what needed to be done. I'm glad he saved my soul. Amen. He saved my life. I'm not talking about from death. I mean, the Bible says we got an appointment with death. Amen. Chances, truth is, he probably saved my life from death many times before I ever got saved. I don't even want to think back to the different close calls that I had and things that I experienced where I thought I was tough or lucky. I wasn't none of that. It was a gray-haired praying mother praying for me, and her prayers availed much, and I thank God for it. But you know what he did? He saved me from me.
Amen.
He saved me from my sin, but then through the Word of God and the preaching of the Word and the teaching of the Word of God, he saved me from me. Man, I look back at my life. Sometimes the first 10 years or so I was saved, I'd read that track and I think I'd marvel that I'm not that guy anymore, that I'm saved. I'd wake up in cold sweats in the first, you know, dozen years after I got saved and almost afraid to open my eyes and find out I was under a pinball machine or out in the backyard in a doghouse or something, that all this thing was like a dream. That I was a new creature in Christ and I was on my way to heaven, and it was surreal. And now 30 plus years later, I sit in a doctor's office one time, killing time, and I read my own track. Does that sound vain? Well, that's better than sailboating and golfing, you know. I could, everything was, and a People magazine, that's just pornography. So I read, and I went, and I mean, I'm tearing up, and they, "Oh, don't be afraid, it won't hurt. I ain't worried about nothing you're gonna do." I'm tearing up as I realize and I'm reminded of what Jesus Christ did for me, cause I'm not that guy anymore. Now I sit around, I'm going, "How could I have been so stupid?"
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. But I was. And I wasn't alone. And most people are on the same path of destruction that I was. They're just taking different ways. They're all going to end up in the same place. But now, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, in this present world, boy, I got a great wife. I got a great wife. I'm not even looking at her. I'm not even trying to compliment her. You know what? She is every bit as interested in, as committed, as surrendered to this ministry as I am. She's not tagging along. Amen. If I lag back, she'd probably grab me by the collar. That's what we do for each other. Amen.
Amen.
She takes this as seriously as I do. We love going home, seeing our church. We love going home, seeing our grandkids. Amen. But boy, we know that when it's time to go, we know we want to be where God wants us. Amen. I know some preachers, they don't have wives like that. Amen. I've got a great wife. I got some good kids. Good kids. They're good. Amen. Some are better than others. It depends what day of the week it is, what year, what month. And so I say, well, are your kids perfect?
Yeah, right.
How could they be? They take after their parents. We're not perfect either. But they're pretty good kids. They're saved. Amen. I've got a respectable occupation. I went from outlaw to ordained preacher of the gospel. Amen. Whoever saw that coming? Amen. And I got a Bible Institute degree, a diploma on my wall in my office and an ordination certificate. I mean, I did finish high school, and I got an honorable discharge. I don't have too many certificates. Amen. Somebody said, well, Brother Spurgeon, you've been in the ministry a long time. Do you have letters after your name? You know, like doctor, PhD, and all that. And I said, letters? I got something better than that. I got numbers.
Yeah.
Now, you think about what I just said. That Bible says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And, you know, the numbers when you're like getting your mugshot, you know, I got numbers after my name. I was pre-qualified for the grace of God. That didn't go over as well as it should have, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Amen. I got the best friends in the world. And I count some of you as some of my best friends.
Amen.
Amen. And someone said, well, you know, Christians aren't perfect. Well, that's true. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm 72 years old. And I was out there pretty far for a long time. And children of God is not perfect as we are. It's the best crowd I ever ran with.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can think of some exception somewhere along the way, but I lived in a world of exceptions. Yeah. Cutthroat was a day-to-day activity. Yeah, sometimes people blow it. Amen. But it's definitely the best crowd. Best crowd I ever run with. Amen.
Amen.
I got the best job in the world.
Amen.
Amen. When I surrendered, the federal judge said, he's got to get a job. Told my PO, he's got to get a job. Everything I was good at was illegal. I mentioned that a lot, I guess. And I said, Lord, I'll work for you. I got to learn something. I'll work for you if you'll let me. And so he let me. And our little church had a Bible Institute. And I'd work all day and go to class. And when I got done with probation, I've been on the road over 28 years. Great job. Somebody said, how can you guys live like that? You're in church 4, 5, 10, sometimes, days in a row. I preached 49 meetings in 1 year. We were younger. Amen. And I preached in Arkansas. I finished a meeting on a Wednesday night, drove 500 miles up to the Panhandle of Texas and started another one. Drove again and started another one in New Mexico. We were in church 14 nights in a row. I thought we were living high on the hog, but my kids were looking a little weary, so we kind of learned to balance that out. Somebody says, how can you guys live like that on the road? In the will of God, really? On the road, in church all the time. In church all the time. Where do you want to be?
Yeah, right.
Amen? And my response was this. Finally, I said, how can we live like this? How can you not? We are living the dream. And I understand when I say that. I'm not being critical. This is what God's called us to do. And He's enabled us to do. And, you know, why kick against the pricks? Why not just enjoy what God's got you doing? Whether that's being a good husband, wife, kid, church member, just do it all for the glory of God. Amen. I'm just bragging on Jesus a little bit. And let me say this. The last 30 plus years haven't been without some storms and some trials and some challenges. Right? I mean, I don't remember all of them, but I don't want to. And no doubt, I don't know how much time the Lord's going to give us. Amen? Before He comes or before we go. But I'm sure there'll be some more trials. And, you know, the God of the last valley is going to be the God of the next one.
Right.
And that's what I've learned through the years, that the struggles, you know, it's not quite so earth-shattering as it may once was. So no matter, if you're saved, are you saved?
Amen.
No matter what, how rough things may get in this life, they may. You might be going through something right now. It's going to get much, much better in the world to come. We believe that, right?
Amen.
I mean, that's what gets me through. I don't care who's in Washington. I don't care about any of that. It doesn't change my reality. My orders don't change because of who's in Washington at all. You know, I kept hearing preachers say, well, Trump got elected, so we've got a little more time. We better take advantage of it. I'm going, what were we supposed to be doing before? Why does that change anything for us? And that, you know, I do enjoy the guy making everybody that I don't like mad. I love that. But other than that, it's just entertainment to me. So let me just say this, and I'll try to land this plane. Regardless of how things are going for you in this present world, if you're saved, the best is yet to come. I heard a preacher give this illustration one time. He grew up in a house up in Michigan. Lanny Hasbrook was his name. I don't know if you guys ever met Brother Hasbrook. He's out of Don Green's church. And he said his grandma used to say when they'd go over there for holiday dinner and whatever, whenever the dinner was done, grandma would say, concerning the spoon, she would say, lick and keep. So when they take the plate and they take the fork, just lick that spoon off and hold on to it. And she'd say, because the best is yet to come. And she was talking about dessert. Amen. But Brother Hasbrook preached a message for the child of God. Said, boy, the best. I'm getting goosebumps. Wow. The best is yet to come. No matter what's going on today. Yeah, we got a world that we're in. We're in it. We're not supposed to be of it. We got to keep our guard up. Amen. But, man, sometimes it just blesses me to think about the one to come. Amen. The one to come. Matter of fact, the one to come, what a name for it. It's called heaven.
Amen.
Heaven. Where everything is good.
Amen.
Not as in, good, better, best. Not that. It's good as in, there is absolutely no evil, nothing bad at all. No temptation. No tempter. And that's a message right there. And the more I found out about the world to come, the more I wanted to learn about the one who made it possible for me to go there.
Amen.
And not to the one I deserved. The more I found out about the world to come that I get to be part of because my sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ, the more I wanted to make sure that I never ever caused my Savior
Amen.
To doubt
Amen.
Whether or not I appreciated it. To never let a circumstance or a situation in my life, because nothing that we go through is comparable to what He went through for us. I don't ever want Him to think that any trial in my life was comparable to what He did for me. That helps me stay humble. That helps me stay thankful.
Amen.
Amen. In the storm, not, it's part of it. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, I'll read to you. It says this, Paul said this, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I guess that'd be the religious crowd. Amen. I got hope in Christ that goes way beyond this life. Amen. But I gotta say, I know a lot of Christians, I meet Christians, maybe not a lot, but I meet Christians all the time, who seem to only have hope in Christ in the world to come because they don't live in this present world like children of God. They don't conduct themselves in such a way to be a light to a lost and dying world. They don't live in such a way that their trust is in Him. They're finagling they're leaning under their own understanding all the time, and you try to talk to them as I travel around and you open the Bible and it just doesn't get anywhere with them because their wheels are turning all the time. Boy, I'll tell you what, that seems to me like the kind of thing that would wear you flat out. And, we don't need to be worrying about things that Christ has already taken care of.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus Christ doesn't play as big a part in the lives of some Christians in this present world. And some of them go to church and even claim to read or even believe the Bible. But they're not living it.
Amen.
I told somebody, I said, you better die. He had a testimony of having some business practices that weren't very Christian-like. And a little cheating, a little cutting corner, a little bad language now and then. And I heard about it from a couple of his workers. And he came to church every Sunday, gave money and all that. And I pulled him aside. I said, hey, brother. I said, you better hope you die on Sunday. And he said, What? Why? Why do you say that? Because I said, from what I'm hearing, that's the only day you even remotely act like a Christian. You better hope he don't come on Tuesday while you're on the phone taking the Lord. And he's going, he left visibly rattled. He had to go, I said, is that true? If I die on Tuesday, is it? And but if you're saved, you're saved 24-7.
That's right.
So it makes sense to me. We ought to live it. Right. Act like it. People that aren't are missing out. And if you're in here tonight, we're glad you're here. But if you don't grasp what you got in on, and that's, and all of us are prone to wander, like the songwriter wrote. That's why we have meetings.
Amen.
And we don't live meeting to meeting. We have church every week. We don't live Sunday to Sunday or Wednesday to Wednesday. We have a Bible.
Amen.
That we're supposed to have a personal relationship with daily.
Amen.
And we have communication. We really have no excuse.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want anybody in here to miss out. And I'm still learning, but I'm so glad I got in on this, in this world and in the world to come. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness. That's what we're talking about. Living for God. Being mindful of God is profitable unto all things.
Mm-hmm.
Having promise of the life that now is. Man, I would have never dreamed I'd have a life this good. And I still ride motorcycles. And I do the things that I enjoyed before without all the negative. Like feds and Hells Angels and hangovers. And you know what I mean? I'm doing all the stuff that I started out doing for fun. And I'm still doing it for fun. But now I'm free. I like that. Amen. Having promise of a life that now is and of that which is to come. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm talking about the best of both worlds. I had the worst. Buried many friends, lost everything on my way to prison, and then hell. Now I've got the best. What'd you do, brothers? I did not turn over a new leaf. It's all because of Jesus Christ. It's really simple. It's just like salvation. You don't have to figure nothing out. You just need to know this. Anything good going on, it's because of Jesus Christ. Any good thing you and I do, say, think, it's because of Jesus Christ. The fact that we're going to heaven is because of Jesus Christ. I appreciate it. That's narrow, narrow way. It ought to be easy to stay focused.
Right.
Amen? Are you focused? You're in here and you're saved. Maybe some things in your now and now, nasty now and now. Sweet by and by, you probably heard that. If you're saved, you got the world to come part settled, but maybe got some things going on right now. You know, I'm glad to report, I'm glad that it's true for myself, that even though sin does get in there and mess things up, and the flesh does win sometimes, and he does, you can get things right with God.
Amen.
Matter of fact, he made it just as easy to get right with God after you got saved as he did to make it get saved, as he did to make it a possible for you to get saved the first time. All it requires is honesty. I mean, I was a professional liar and everything else, but in a jail cell, I got honest with God and I got honest with myself. Now, I would have never told a lawyer this or a cellmate or anybody, but I said, I'm definitely a sinner. If hell's real, I'm going there. I deserve to. He said, I like that. Amen. He likes it when we'll be honest. Quit playing games. We play games with ourselves. We play games with each other. We play games to get ahead. God doesn't play games.
Amen.
What he wants is to see if you'll just be honest with him.
Amen.
These are the problems and it's my fault and I need your help. And he's going, been waiting for that. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Even when we're not, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I got saved in jail. Amen. I went to Romans chapter 10. I didn't even know it at the time, but I just was praying some of the things that I'd heard that preacher say. But I've led a couple people to the Lord in the last 34 years down the Romans Road, but I've visited the 1 John 1:9 road many times myself. I heard a guy say one time, well, that dispensationally, that doesn't apply. And I just said, shut up. That's been working for me for 30 years. I need fellowship with God. I need the joy of the Lord as my strength. Amen. I need it.
That's right.
So you do what works for you. Let me close with this. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, it says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3, grace be to you. Now that's what we got, those of us that are saved. And that's what's available to you if you're in here tonight and you're not. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this evil present world, according to the will of God and our Father. If you're in here and you're not saved, this present evil world, that's all you got. That's as close to heaven as you're ever going to get. That ought to be a sobering thought right there. In the world to come, you die in your sin. You die without getting a hold of the forgiveness Jesus Christ made available to everybody. Amen. This evil present world is going to look like heaven. Amen. The Bible says, what shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And the answer is easy. Nothing. I had a preacher friend up in Tennessee one time sing a song. He played guitar and sang a song. Don't worry, I'm not going to break into song. But the gist of it was, he never saw a hearse pulling a U-Haul. And you can accumulate everything this world's got and all the things that take your mind off of God. Put him on the back burner. Yeah, one of these days, that's how we live. Sad part is there's people that put getting saved on a list like that. One of these days, you better get that thing taken care of while you can. You don't know how many days you got. Amen. I'm glad I got the best of both worlds.
Amen.
Now this one's not perfect. The next one is. Amen. I got everything I need to get through this one. I got the Holy Spirit. I got a perfect Bible. I got the friends.
Thank you, Lord.
I got brothers and preacher friends that'll tell me what I need to hear, help straighten me out if I need it. Amen. I need it less and less as I get older. But I've needed it. And I appreciate people that'll tell you the truth. Let's all stand. All right, so Christians, just something to get you going here this week. We got in on something, and everything in this world will cause us to forget about that. And we need to get it back on the focus front of our brain so that we can be receptive to whatever the Lord's got in the next days, 9, 10, whatever it is. Amen? But I'll say again, if you're not saved here tonight, it's all right there. We don't invite people to join nothing. We just want to show you what the Bible says about how you can trust what the Bible says, that your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. And if you're in there and you've never been saved, you listen. Who's coming? Brother Billy, you? Who's coming? Brother Brent, please come. Now don't blow the...